He's got a beautiful backswing.
He got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you. Glad everyone is along for the ride on this Wednesday morning. Hope you listen on Monday to our recap of the Charles Schwab Challenge last week at Colonial, which, of course, was taken down in the playoff by Daniel Berger. Nice win to get the PGA Tour season started. Now excited to be headed to Harbortown for the RBC Heritage. Great tournament, great golf course, and a much better field than we usually see, Taylor. This is the first time since, let me make sure I have this date right, I think it's 1982? Let's look, 1982, that this event is not being played the week after the Masters. So obviously a lot of guys the week after the Masters elect not to play in this tournament. Completely opposite this week. Nothing's been going on. This is not coming off a big week. This is a perfect spot in the schedule to draw big names, and it's got some of the biggest. So again, just a loaded field, and I'm ready for golf again this week.
Yeah, you hit everything nail on the head there. I mean, yeah, was that almost 40 years now that it's been the week after the Masters? So, I mean, that's going to, you know, distract a lot of people. A lot of people don't like to play the week after a major just because, you know, it's so mentally and physically exhausting, you know.
Don't you think they're kind of getting the shaft being the week after the match, or are they choosing that? I really don't know.
I'm not sure. You know, maybe they've been doing it for so long, they may just relish it. I mean, they still get, you know, a lot of good players every year, just not near quality to the extent that we're seeing this time. But it is the second pro event back, and with the Colonial being last week. And, you know, we actually had some golf last week, so we actually know how some of these guys' form is. You know, we got to see them actually make some swings in competition, see how they handled some of the pressure. And we have a little bit of some stats to go on off of how they played over the last few years. So, I mean, you know, it feels a little bit better than last week, you know, just because we didn't necessarily know what was going to happen, which made it really interesting, you know. And I think we'll see a little bit more of kind of a top heavy field this week.
Yeah, last week, if I could have ranked, you know, in terms of 1 to 10, my confidence level of my picks that I was giving out last week, probably would have given it about a 3, because I really was just kind of teetering and guessing.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah,
no idea.
And guessing. This week, I'm at like a 9. I mean, I'm throwing darts this week.
I feel the same way. It's almost like, you know, you just that overall, like you said, we got to see some shots last week, and we know how some people play at this course. You know the style of course, Harbortown, one of my favorite courses that they play each year. Like you said, it is highly unfortunate that it is the week after the Masters, so it doesn't get this type of feel. I'm really excited to see how all these big names play. I wish the big cat was there, but picking and choosing. Well, we got all the top 5 players in the world.
Top 5 are there. Yep.
Top 5 are there. And Big Bryson going to show up, who will
Big Bryson.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Said,
Big Bryson.
Yeah. You guys sound like a gorilla.
Big Bryson, hit ball far. Swing hard at RBC. Yeah.
Big Bryson, by the way, he's played here 4 times. He's got 2 top 5s, 2 miscuts.
Yes, yeah, he was, and there have been, his first start here as a pro, I believe it was finished 4th or 3rd, one of those?
4th in 2016, yep.
And then he missed the cut, then he finished 3rd the year after that, then missed cut last year. Yep. So he's kind of off on, so on that track of pace, he looks like he's going to be right on up there.
Yeah, this is the on year, and I mean, also, he's now hitting bombs, which doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how he handles it. You know, because like we mentioned before, you know, there's some dogleg. It's a very dogleggy course, and so there'll be some doglegs where you can carry him, where he'll be able to get a major advantage. There'll be some where he has to, you know, lay back like all the other players do, and that may even be a more benefit to him because he'll be able to hit a little less club. You know, he might be able to hit irons where some guys are having to hit fairway woods to get around the corners. So that's another reason why I really like his chances this week, and he hasn't finished outside of the top 5 in. What is that now? Maybe 5 starts, you know, going back to, looks like the last time he did was at the Waste Management back in January, you know. So I don't see it stopping this week at a course where he has been hit or miss, but the times where he's hit, he's been almost at the winner's circle.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, I don't think if you run Bryson out this week in a DraftKings lineup or something, I don't think he's going to give you a T32. Like, I just don't see Bryson giving you a T32. He's playing so well right now. I think he's going to be in contention. This is, Taylor, a very classic Pete Dye course. I mean, this is par 71, 7,100 yards. Technically, it's 7,099 yards, but for all intents and purposes. Yeah, we'll do, what is that, 100 yards for every stroke of par? Yep. Yeah, par 71. So 100 yards per stroke for par at the Pete Dye layout. 17 penalty areas as far as water goes. A lot of that is just the natural lay of the land, which is what makes this such a beautiful course. It doesn't seem like anything on this course is forced. Everything seems like it's just exactly taking what the piece of land gave you and making it into a golf course. And that's what makes some of these good old classic golf courses so good. And this is a very classic Pete Dye design.
Yeah, it was one of his first ones. You know, Pete Dye's kind of, you know, whenever we compare him to like an Alistair McKenzie or a Perry Maxwell, he's not way back in the 30s or 20s or anything like that, you know. So, but this is one of his first designs. And like you said, just a right by the shoreline there in Myrtle Beach, just a gorgeous place. And, you know, the final hole's super cool because the little lighthouse is right there and with the hazard on the left. And you always see people bail out right. And there was that one year, what was the dude's name, Brian Davis or something like that?
Yes, where he had the, I know what you're talking about.
He was in the hazard and hit the twig or whatever it was on
it
the back.
It was a little, what was it? It was like a
cacti or whatever. Yeah,
it was not like a cattail, but man, what was it? It was, I don't know. It was a piece of foliage, basically, greenery that was sticking up, what, a foot, 18 inches out of the ground?
Yeah, exactly.
And he clipped it with his wedge on a practice swing, called a penalty on himself, cost himself the tournament.
Yeah, it was very, very crazy experience. Yeah, because it was in the playoff when it happened. Yeah, that was an entirely crazy deal.
It determined the outcome of the golf tournament.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And we've had great finishes there. What was it? Kuchar chipped in or hold out on 18 there.
Yep.
And you know, we've had some other really exciting finishes there. And so
Furyk, two-time winner.
Yeah, Furyk's two-time winner. Yeah, exactly. The and yeah, so just to see these amount of good players in the field is going to be really exciting. And I wonder, you know, what you know, if they'll be able to go, you know, super low in how much score variance the score will be compared to other years, you know, because I believe the winning score last year was around the, what was it, 12? Yeah, CT Pan won at 12 under.
It was 12 the year before, and it was 13 the year before that. So pretty consistent winning scores Harbortown.
Yeah, and sometimes the wind can get up there because it's right by the coast, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what that winning score ends up being with some of these stacked players, maybe one of these top five guns or maybe one of these players who we had talked about, you know, previously, because it seems like, you know, on DraftKings, you know, all these top guys seem to be either in form or have had some good of success at this course, or, you know, are just, you know, elite big names, you know. So, you know, any one of these guys who's up there, you know, could just go out and shoot, you know, get on fire. Like, I think Bryson has the potential to, and I'm hoping for it because I'm loading up on him in my one and done and DraftKings and everything like that. You know, he might go out and shoot and, you know, get it to 18 or 19 under, you know, something like that. That's something that we haven't seen at this tournament, you know, just because of some of these loaded names that have so much talent and potential to do something like that.
Yeah, you would never guess who holds the tournament scoring record. First name's Brian. Just fire out some last guess. 2009. First name's Brian. Fire out some last names for Brian's.
Brian. Oh, well, we just said Davis. Harmon. No.
Nope.
Wait, a tournament scoring record or just course
tournament record? Scoring record? 264, 20 under in 2009. Won by 10 shots.
Holy moly.
Yes.
Brian. Oh, man.
Won by 10 shots.
Brian. I know.
It's such an obscure guy.
Brian, say it. I'm
Brian Gay.
Oh, how about
in 2009, won by 10 shots at 20 under.
Wow, that's a dominant performance. And he's been, I mean, I don't know, I don't think he's playing this week. He may be playing this week.
Yeah, he is in the field.
Yeah, so, you know, he's been one of those guys who's kind of stayed under the radar for a long part of his career. I remember he won the Bob Hope, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago now. And, you know, he's just kind of one of those real consistent guys who's been able to make it out there. And I completely forgot he won a tournament by 10 shots. That's crazy.
I know, that's wild. I read that and I'm like, whoa, the same Brian Gay that hadn't done much since. He's only got one top 10 since. Check that. He's only got one top 30 since, and it was his sixth place finish in 2017. So I don't know that I'm exactly telling you to run Brian Gay out in your DraftKings lineup just because he played well here in 2009, but kind of fun to look back on that. Some other guys, some notables who've been good here in the past. So Brian Harmon played his last three rounds here last year, 9 under. Mm-hmm. Under. So that's our guy, Brian Harmon, Scott Tway on the bag. That's our
absolutely.
Guy. I like his chances.
And another spoiler alert, he is in my ideal DraftKings lineup. Ooh. So I really do like his chances this week. I do.
Fancy,
I do.
Fancy.
I think he's going to have a good week. Got off to a really good start at Colonial. Was able to end up finishing T23. I really do like his chances this week. He's had, like he's mentioned, he's had a lot of success at this course. So, and it really does fit his game.
Yeah, and he played well early last week at Colonial. Faded a little bit on the weekend. Just didn't quite have it all together. But at a place where he's played well and
and had some decent form, decent but not great, I think that you could look for Brian Harman to have a good week coming in this week at Harbortown. If you want to have a good week, you need to call McCray Roofing. Get yourself a new roof. McCray Roofing is a locally owned and operated roofing service company that is passionate about the quality of their roof creations. If it's good enough for Gallardia, if it's good enough for Oak Tree, it's good enough for you. Jeff McCray, the owner of McCray Roofing, friend of the show here on the 73rd hole, views your roof like a canvas. His team's sole purpose is to create you a masterpiece of a roof, which brings out the beauty of your home and its surroundings, a beauty that will last for years to come. Call McCray Roofing today at 405-692-4000 or visit them online at McCrayRoofing.com. Do you want to go ahead and dive into DraftKings?
I'm ready whenever you want.
Because I've got, you remember we talked about on Monday, I had four. And I had to fill in two, averaging 6,300. So I've got them, but I want to hear your DraftKings plays first because I want to know if my guys are in your plays before I run them out.
Absolutely.
Because right, I got so the mega cheap.
You went mega cheap. Oh, yeah, I've got the mega cheap. I mean, I was looking way down there. If you're going to average, so you went with someone around the 6,000 mark. And there's a couple guys who could potentially make the cut, so we'll see if you pick some of them. Obviously, I'm going to go from top to bottom kind of like you did, and I'll save some of my other picks. So I went with DeChamp.
So you're giving us all your values here or just your ideal lineup?
This is my ideal lineup.
Gotcha. Right, okay,
this is my ideal lineup. So starting with going out top heavy with DeChambeau.
Okay.
So I believe he was third most expensive on DraftKings behind Rory and JT. Yep, that is correct. So he is 10,700. So and obviously we talked about him. I'm not the type of guy to bet on players each week, you know, just because tournaments are so loaded. But this is one of the weeks where I feel confident enough where I may even lay a little coin on the side, you know, depending on what his odds are. Do you have his odds pulled up?
He's 14-1.
14. I mean, that's
14-1.
That's pretty good. You know, that might be worth throwing out there. I mean, whenever you go through on DraftKings and you're trying to build a lineup, like I said, I think all these top guys, they've either a big name, either have form, or they've had, you know, some success at the course. So I think really you can build your lineups any way you want, but this is the way I'm going with mine. Then my next two picks, I'm going with your boy Patrick Reed, who
Patrick,
everyone's favorite player out there.
He's 28-1 again this week, same as last week.
How about that? And he's 8,800 on DraftKings. So, you know, with no fans out there, kind of like you said, it may give him an advantage. He's played really well this year. I don't believe he's had a whole lot of bad places. And
not much course history here. Played it in 13, 14, and 15. Finished 71st, 48th, and was cut. But that was at a much different time in his career. He's a much different player now. I wouldn't take anything away from that.
No, absolutely not. And since he won down at WGC Mexico, he finished 15th at Arnold Palmer and 7th last week, where he made a run on the weekend, you know, for you, and you end up getting mad at him because he made 14 pars on Sunday. But I expect worst case scenario, he'll be around, you know, top 25 or something like that. My next pick will be Mr. Gary Woodland, another guy who he's kind of transitioned his game. You know, he was always known as just kind of a bomber, you know, kind of a guy to, you know, just hit it way out there. It was kind of brute, you know, kind of like you make fun of Bryson's voice, you know, Bryson, boy,
big Bryson.
Big Bryson. Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of how Woodland was always known as. But I think he's, you know, whenever we had Kelsey Klein and Taylor Gooch on, they talk about having a game that travels and, you know, that can even expand even once you get onto the tour to more complete places. And I think he finished 9th last week, didn't have the best Sunday finish. He played here back in 2013 and had made cut, did not finish. But I just think that he's got a game now to where he can go anywhere he wants and play well, and I think he will play well again this week. And then my third from cheapest guy is Ian Poulter. He's had
course history
course history guy. Yeah, he was playing fairly decent before the break. I'm trying to pull up his exact results
here. I've got his course history here. The last 3 years, 11th, 7th, and 10th.
Nice.
Last 3 years for Ian Poulter.
Yeah. So he's, you know, so far this year he's got a 22nd or 27th at the Honda, 32nd at Arnold Palmer Bay Hill, and then finished 29th last week. And like I said, all the recent success that he's had there.
He finished 29th last week, and no joke, I didn't know he was in the field.
Yeah, you don't see, and
I had no idea.
No chance. And so yeah, I like with the course history and all that, you know, obviously. So we got Reed, I got Reed and Poulter in my lineup, and so these are two guys who are notorious for being hated in the golfing world, and now I have to root for them. So it's almost like my soul is kind of turning a different direction.
But if they play well, you got to think guys who are not well liked are not often rostered in DraftKings because people don't like them.
Yeah,
if you don't like, you don't pick guys you don't like. So if they play well, you might have guys that other people don't have.
Yeah, very good point. And then the next two, even even Poulter being that cheap was surprising to me. But these next two guys on the form that they've been on is surprising. We already mentioned one, Taylor Gooch at 7,000. I'm going with him just because, like I said, hadn't missed a cut since the very first tournament of the wraparound season down at Greenbrier.
13 in a row.
Yeah, this is and Harbortown is a Iron Strikers golf course, so I expect him to make another cut, if not contend. And then the next one is at 7,500, Joel Damon.
I knew you were going to say Damon. I had him in my DraftKings lineup last week. Him a lot.
I can't believe he's as cheap as he is. He's been playing so well, finished, I believe, 16th here last year.
Yep.
I mean, he...
19th last week.
Yeah, exactly. So he playing form, shot a 58 over the break, you know, so...
For a course record, it was a legit 58.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So my ideal lineup will go, read it down, DeChambeau, Joe Damon, Taylor Gooch, Ian Poulter, Gary Woodland, Patrick Reed. And but like I said, you know, with it being this top heavy, all these guys up here, the only guys at the top that I would really kind of steer away from are just, and even they could have some success. I mean, Koepka keeps making cuts, but he's just not up there. So I wouldn't, you know, with at the value of 8,600, I think there's a lot of guys around there who would be a better bet.
How about Spieth having a higher DraftKings price this week than Koepka, though?
I'm interested by that.
Who would have thought that coming in?
You know, maybe they think Spieth has figured something out. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. I picked him last week just because he has a good course history there. I mean, he's never missed a cut here. He's finished in the top 12. He's played it four times, and three of them finished inside the top 12, so he does have good course history here. But that was also back kind of, 2013, he actually hadn't gotten up to his full status and finished ninth. In 2014, he finished 12th, and then 2015, he finished 11th. But last year, when he was playing really bad, finished 54th. And so he might be a guy who will be there on Sunday. He's not someone that I would put in my lineup personally, but at 87, I really wouldn't be surprised either way. He's just such a wild card, though. I want to go with guys who I feel like are more surefire bets.
Yeah, exactly. So you already know four of mine. I announced four of my DraftKings picks.
Go ahead and announce them again in case you didn't listen to the first show.
We've got Bryson. Love Bryson this week, playing great. The confidence right now, I think, is just off the charts. I mean, he talked about a couple times after the round on Sunday, if he just made a few putts, he would have run away with the tournament. So love Bryson at 10,700. At 10,000, I've got Colin Morikawa, 12 for 12 cuts made. Hadn't missed a cut since he started his PGA Tour career. I'm really hoping that the two short misses at the end of Sunday don't cause him to go into some sort of mental funk where all of a sudden he just, you know, comes out and has a poor showing. I don't think it will. He hits the ball so well. This course seems like it should be set up really well for Colin Morikawa. I've got Sungjae Im, who is an absolute machine. I mean, if anyone on the PGA Tour is as close as you can get to a golf robot, is what Sungjae Im is. He's as close as you can be to a robot and still be a person.
Yeah, like we've talked about many times, he's got that slow tempo, but it just stays the same. Has had how many ever top whatever finishes, you know, made cuts. I mean, he's just been playing so well.
And he plays every week.
Yeah, he plays every week. I don't...
doesn't get tired.
No, he doesn't. No, he's got the stamina of a gazelle.
Doesn't shoot over par.
The only time he has played here, he has missed a cut, though. So if you are trying to nitpick and a reason to not pick him, but, you know, since then, I mean, he's finished 10th last week, finished 3rd at the Arnold Palmer, won the Honda, like we mentioned how many ever times. So, I mean, yeah, I love that pick, and I see him being at least at worst probably top 15.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see here. So Sungjae Im. So Taylor Gooch is my next most expensive at 7,000. So if your fourth guy costs 7,000, you know your next two guys are going to be cheap. So we're going cheap on the next two. We're going Brian Stewart. Brian Stewart is 6,600. Let me pull up his course history here. So Brian Stewart has played here five of the last 6 years. He's made the cut in all five of those that he's played in the last 6 years, and he's got one top five finish back in 2014. He finished 16th here last year, finished 43rd last week at Colonial, so made the cut last week. So at 6,600, I've got a guy that I think is going to make the cut, which is what I'm looking for this far down. Now I had to find somebody at 6,000 that I thought could make the cut, and finding somebody at 6,000 that you think is going to make the cut is a little tough. I'm going Billy Haas.
I figured that's who you were going to go with.
I mean, there's just not a lot of guys at 6,000, so I'm going to take a guy who, number one, he's played this course a bunch. He's got some missed cuts here, but he knows the track really well for a $6,000 value. Does have, let's see, four missed cuts here and two WDs here, which is random. One of those last year, but he's got a top 10 finish here in 2018, a top 15 finish here in 2016, and again, I'm at the bottom of the barrel here looking for a guy at 6,000. So DeChambeau, Im, Morikawa, Gooch, Those are the four I feel great about. I feel like three of those can contend to win the tournament. Gooch, I think, certainly will make the cut. Who knows? If he gets hot with the irons, maybe he gets himself into contention on the weekend. The two that I'm a little iffy about, cheap, just need him to make the cut and get me some points on the weekend, is Bill Haas and Brian Stewart. So, yeah, I think that's dynamite lineup.
And that's why I love these stack fields like this, just because you have so much versatility. You can build your lineup really however which way you want. You know, some of the lower fields, you know, it gets a little bit hard. For example, you know, like we always make fun of the John Deere, but it's just because it's right before the British Open, so it doesn't get a lot of attention. But, you know, when you're trying to find cheap guys in those tournaments, you know, you're really, you know, scrapping, just because a lot of guys either don't have experience on the tour, you know, haven't been on the scene, or just are kind of veterans and haven't been playing very well. But that's what I love about these stack fields. Even some of the cheaper guys you mentioned. I mean, Billy Haas, it was just a few years ago that he won the President's Cup for us, you know, for the U.S., you know, because on that last hole. So
about the shot he hit at East Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
You kidding
FedEx Cup champion.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
3 feet out of the water?
Yeah. On your boy Hunter Mahan, OSU.
Hunter Mahan never really bounced back, did he?
No, I think I can't remember which happened first, Ryder Cup or the, but yeah, the Ryder Cup was a bad deal.
Making me feel all, I'm getting chills, little shivers, just thinking about Hunter Mahan at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant, but it is what it is, and there's a lot of other points that had out there. But nevertheless, I do like, that's the reason I like these big stacked field events, just because you can be so versatile with your lineups. And really, any which way you go, you know, on paper really shouldn't be that bad of an option.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to talk about some of the guys at the top, just the big storylines leading in this week. Rory coming off the front 941 on Sunday. Jordan Spieth with his struggles again on the weekend this past week when he was in contention. Colin Morikawa and the putting, all these things, the big storylines. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're giving you our picks for, we're doing a podcast one and done starting this week. All players available. You can use them one time between now and the Masters. So through the Masters is going to be Taylor and I's one and done, and then we'll have one going next season that we'll keep going. But we're putting all the big names back in the pool for the sake of the podcast here. So we'll give you our one and done picks, and we'll just keep this thing rolling, getting you ready for the RBC Heritage getting underway tomorrow at Harbortown. Stay with us. Don't move a muscle. This is the 73rd hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back. Rolling along here on a Wednesday. Colby Powell, Taylor Williams. Hyped up for the RBC Heritage this week. Big-time golf course and a big-time field for this golf course. Gonna love watching these guys try to take down Pete Dye's. Like you said, one of his first courses, Taylor?
I believe so. I'll look up in the lineage when he made it. But, yeah, okay. it was up there somewhere.
Yeah, so Pete Dye, obviously, very famous architect. Some very famous courses. Sawgrass, obviously, Stadium Hole, all that's his. Oak Tree here in town, Oak Tree Nationals, Pete Dye. Austin Country Club is Pete Dye. There's a bunch of Pete Dye that you know and love. So excited to see these guys at Harbortown this week. Some of the big storylines going in. Rory McIlroy, the world number one. I mean, obviously, Rory McIlroy, he's unbelievable. 7 straight top fives prior to last week. Actually ended up finishing 32nd last week, despite having a late tee time on Sunday. Completely blew up, 41 on the front nine. Was able to salvage it with a few birdies on the back nine. So what did he shoot? 41, 33, I believe. Got him in at 74. Did you find the lineage on the Pete Dye?
I saw that it was built in, Harbortown was built in 1967. And just for reference, I know a lot of his courses were built in the 70s. So I'm assuming that was definitely at least one of his
so
first
pretty
ones.
Early on.
Yeah, if not the, it wasn't, I don't believe his exact first, because I believe that one's in Indiana.
Gotcha.
But yeah, fairly close around there.
Gotcha. So anyway, Rory, 41, 33 on the back. I mean, are we basically just throwing out that single nine holes and saying that it's a total outlier and Rory's going to be back in contention to win this week? Because I know you picked him to win last week. Seven top fives in a row, hard not to, number one player in the world. But are we still as confident in Rory after seeing what happened Sunday at Colonial?
I'm still confident that he's obviously a great player and is going to contend in major championships this year once they get up and running. But with not much course experience here, I expect he'll probably do something similar to what he's done almost every tournament this year. We'll have a really good first 3 days, and then Sunday somehow he'll get out of it. I don't know if he has a mental block on Sundays.
He'll be out of it coming into Sunday and then backdoor like a 65 to finish T8.
Yeah, he finishes around the same, you know, generally the same spot. Last week was an exception just because I think he was just kind of over it on that front nine and just was trying to get in.
It was 6 over for the number one player in the world on a nine-hole stretch.
It just shows how golf is, man. Yeah. And so for the Pete Dye thing, before we move on to more Rory stuff, so his first course was built in 1962, which was the University of Michigan course, and then his first kind of major championship course was Crooked Stick that you had mentioned, yeah. You know, where John Daly had won, and that was in 64. So then 67, he built, Harbortown. So that's not very much after. So yeah. It was definitely one of his first, not
very
but it
early
just was,
in his career.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, on to Rory, I don't know if it's the Sunday thing. I didn't get to see much of his swing on Sunday. So I don't know if exactly what happened there. Like I said, I don't think it's really much technical issue as much as it is between the ears. So hopefully, you know, if he can get himself there in contention, and maybe just learn how to, you know, just keep it together and be able to be there on the last, you know, five or six holes of the tournament or last two or three holes of the tournament, you know, I think will boost his confidence a lot. But right now he's got the Sunday woes, and with them being the number one price on DraftKings, I think he's close to surefire bet as making the cut, but I think I like DeChambeau a lot more than I do Rory this week.
Yeah, I do as well. Another guy who was just absolutely on fire for about 6 months leading up to the layoff was John Rahm, and it's another guy who disappointed last week. Missed the cut, really didn't play well, couldn't get it going at all last week at Colonial. 10,500 this week on DraftKings, and not even so much just DraftKings, but from a standpoint of this is a guy who was finishing top five in nearly every event he played in, and then he comes out after the layoff, misses a cut. Does that, is it a wake-up call that you can't just go through the motions? What is this for John Rahm? Does he bounce back and give us another top five this week?
Top five, it may be a stretch. I think he'll contend. I do see him using, kind of like you just mentioned, the cut as motivation, or missing the cut as motivation, have an extra couple days of layoff to kind of get ready. He has never played this course before, so that may hinder him a bit. But, I mean, he's just such a talented player, and I don't see him missing two cuts in a row especially. And even then, I don't see him having, you know, like a T50th or anything like that. He very well may, you know, maybe he's, you know, just got a little off, you know, maybe the break was bad for him, you know, because he was on such a roll. So you know, if you're trying to build a DraftKings lineup, you know, like we said, you can go a bunch of different ways. With him being 10,500, some of the guys a little cheaper than him, like you have in your lineup, Morikawa and M, and Schauffele's 300 cheaper than Rahm. I would lean towards Schauffele more than Rahm this week, even with how well Rahm was playing.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Some other guys as we come down through here, like you mentioned, Colin Morikawa, Sungjae Im, love both of those guys. Sungjae, I think he's going to win again this season. He plays every week. He's so consistent, just doesn't seem to have bad days. So when he puts it all together for a week, then we get what we got at
Honda.
Yeah, I wanted to say Arnold Palmer, and I knew that wasn't right. That was Tyrrell Hatton. It was Honda where Sungjae got his first win. So I think that he is poised to win again this season. Now, does it come this week? Of course, he's played one time, missed the cut last year. I don't know. Loaded field, but for a guy who's playing as good a golf as he is, it'd be hard for me to leave Sungjae. I mean, he's 28-1 in betting odds, which is the same as Hideki, Webb Simpson, Patrick Reed, and I think Sungjae has probably been as consistent, if not more consistent, than those guys. So I like 28-1 value on Sungjae Im to win this week.
Yeah, no, I agree there. Yeah, if you're wanting to lay a little bit of coin, kind of like I am with DeChambeau, and I think that, you know, if I don't see, like you said, there's just no reason why he would play bad. You know, we haven't seen any form to show that he would play bad. I mean, like I said, the miscut here last year, but, you know, there's always those one-offs, and he's been playing so well since then. And he, like you said, he's the closest thing to a robot that we have in the game, and I agree with you for his value too as well, you know, with some of them you know, was, like we said, with Rom being up there, who had been playing so well, but the miscut last week kind of puts a little bit of fright in your head, so he'll probably come and bounce back really well. But yeah, I really like Sun. I just don't see how you can go wrong with him.
What do you think about Cheeseburger trying to back up a win?
It's always hard to do that.
Always hard to back up a win.
Because you never know what, you know, what someone will do. You know, are they you know, is Berger happy? Is he celebrating, you know, partying, you know?
It's been a long time coming. The wrist injuries with Daniel Berger, long time coming. I feel like his win last week is the type of win that he comes out and misses the cut this week, because he talked last week about how badly he wanted it, and he's never wanted it so bad, and he achieved it. And I think even as much as he's going to try to fight this away, I think subconsciously he's going to relax a little bit and just revel in the fact that he won another PGA Tour tournament. I am staying far, far away from Daniel Berger this week.
Yeah, he's played here twice. Played here last year, finished 33rd, and then his other one was 2015. He finished 72nd, so hasn't finished inside the top 30 in two appearances. Well, coming off of a win, too, and obviously, you know, you don't see players hardly ever win back-to-back weeks, so definitely don't. I wouldn't lay any coin on him. And for his value on DraftKings, I think there's some other people around him that I would pick over Berger.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. He's a little more expensive than Reed, a little less expensive than Webb Simpson, so I like other guys in that realm a lot better. Jordan Spieth, we talked about. I mean, what do we make of Jordan Spieth? He's playing at home last week. He's comfortable at Colonial. Still kind of implodes on himself a little bit on the weekend. Makes a bunch of bombs. Misses some short ones. No B-ball. A chunk chip. What do we make of Jordan Spieth? Is there anything about what you saw last week that would make you think that Jordan Spieth would be a good play anywhere this week?
I'm 8,700. I think there's some other people. I mean, like the other two guys that we had mentioned that maybe you would stay away from would be Koepka, who's right below him at 8,600. And then DJ's had a little bit of success here, but he played horrible last week, didn't look very good.
Doesn't seem like he cares much right now.
No, it seems like he's a little out of it. Like I said, we didn't do very well at in the Seminole thing. The
seems
driving
like he's
relief.
Waiting for meaningful guys. It seems like DJ, about the first week in August of the PGA, he's going to be like, oh, golf means something again. And then he's going to start trying. I don't feel like he's trying right now.
No, it doesn't seem like it. So, I mean, he's... you know, Spieth right above those guys, but you know, one of the guys I picked, Woodland, right down there, 8,400, and Reed above at 8,800, and then even a guy even a little cheaper, Matt Kuchar, 8,300's played so well here in the past, and we all liked him last week, it seemed like, and he had a bad week, but I think he bounces back this week. Our boy Webb Simpson at nine.
I like Webb
at 9,000.
I think Webb a lot.
I think he's going to play well this week. I think that, you know, like we had mentioned, you know, some guys will use the miscut as motivation and get better. Some guys will miscut and just be off on form. I think Webb will come back. He's played so well here in the past. I think
that he's played here a lot. I mean, he really knows this golf course. I'm looking back, going back to 2009. The only year he didn't play here was 2014. Runner-up finish in 2013. The last 3 years, 2017, finished 11th. 2018, finished 5th. 2019, finished 16th. So, Webb's played here a lot, and he's played here well.
Yeah, but, you know, we liked him all last week. So, you know, and from what I see, you know, it's probably just one of those things, you know, you're coming back, you know, no fans. It's real weird environment, you know. It's not, you know, kind of all the travel restrictions and everything, and just a whole weird experience. So, you know, it kind of threw a lot of guys off. We mentioned all the big names in our last show that had an off week. But I expect Webb to come back this week a little bit more, like we had mentioned Rom, who had been playing so well. I expect Webb to play a little bit, to come back more than Rom does, just in my personal opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is a big event this week with all these big names, but this isn't half the event the Ouachita Valley is down at Bushwood, July 4th weekend. We're going to have a blast. It's July 3rd, 4th, 5th. I think the evening of the 2nd, we're doing like a long drive contest closest to the pin.
Yeah, there's going to be all kinds of stuff
some
out there.
Some gimmicks on practice round day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun to be the dinner on Friday. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's a waiting list on some of the lower flights. The higher flights have not been filled yet, so definitely call, get your name in. And with all the guaranteed prizes out there, it'd be a hard opportunity to pass up.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm gearing up for the long drive challenge. I stand about 5'8", 140, and I'm ready to roll. I'm taking a hack, baby.
You going
to
do a Happy Gilmore song?
Oh, I'll do you one better. Big Bryson. I'm taking a Big Bryson hack on the long drive hole.
And you just make sure you don't hit it 80 as don't hit it as far yards offline as you do straight.
I wonder if they're going to do I'm trying to picture Bushwood and where you could do the long drive hole. I'm assuming 6 is the place to do it.
6 or 2.
6 is dead straight. It's like a runway going down there. And the reason I would say 6 instead of 2 is cuz you're probably going to south wind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Let do long drive for the south wind and let guys just step up and take hacks.
It's just going to be a really fun tournament. Love to see how Max is going to get everything set up, and he always throws a fun tournament, and this is going to be another instance of that. So definitely get signed up if you haven't already.
Yeah, y'all stay away from me in the Calcutta. I'm trying to get myself at value. Value. We're talking about value plays.
Yeah.
Trying to get myself as a value play.
Well, you go out and shoot 68 in the first round, you won't be of much value.
If I go out and shoot 68 in the first round, I will set a new personal best. One of my three rounds, my personal best is 69. I've done it three times. One of the three was at Bushwood.
Yeah. Well, like Steve Ball said, don't think about outcome.
Yeah, don't think about outcome. Don't think about trying to shoot 69. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, moving on. The betting odds this week. Some of the guys that I like, I always try to look for value. It's... Man, I love Bryson this week at 14-1. I think I would do a I usually run out $20 bets. You know, last week I only did one. Some weeks I'll do two. Some weeks I'll do three if I really like guys. Run out $20 bets and hope that one of them hits. I think even at 14-1, probably going to use one on Bryson this week. It's not great value. You know, I'd love to be getting him at 20-1 or something like that. But even at 14-1, still pretty good odds there for Bryson, who if I were going to pick someone to win the tournament, that would probably be my pick. And then the two other guys that I mentioned, I'm going to have to decide. I'll probably only play one of these two unless I get feeling froggy this evening, is Sungjae Im and Patrick Reed, both at 28-1. Patrick, I said he was going to win one of the four events with no fans. So if I think he's going to win one of the four events with no fans, it makes sense to bet him every week, especially when he's still 28-1. Yeah, exactly. He's got a 1-in-3 chance to win this week, according to my logic. And he's 28-1 again. I'm between him and Sungjae. So I'm either going to decide between one of the two before tonight, or I'm going to put 20 on both of them.
You mentioned long shots there. I don't know if you scroll and see him. What you got Joel Damon at?
Joel Damon, let me just do a quick command F here, and we'll pull up Joel Damon. Joel Damon way long shot.
Way long shot. What
80
we got?
To 1.
Ooh, wow.
80 to 1. Maybe I'll throw 10 on Damon.
I'm going to say that's a guy that if you're looking for a long shot play to throw, you know, just even 5, 10 bucks on, or, you know, how much ever you want to, you know, at 80 to 1, you'd get a hell of a return on him winning. He's been playing so well. I think his breakthrough's coming before too long. So I think that's, if you're looking for a long shot guy, I think that would be a guy that I would look towards.
Yeah, 80 to 1. That's probably worth 10 of my dollars. Just, you never know. You know, I mean, 10 bucks at 80-1, decent little return.
Absolutely.
On a guy that's
We have our friends of the show, Taylor Gooch and Brian Harmon, on there?
Oh, absolutely. Let's check it out here. Brian Harmon is also 80-1.
Okay. Pretty good value. On the same round. I think they both have about the same you know, Brian obviously has a little bit more experience here.
Multi-time tour winner, Brian
exactly.
Harmon. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and with one of the best caddies on tour, if not the best Scott Tway out there. And so that'll propel him to having a good finish this week. So, yeah, another couple guys. And do you have Gooch there?
Yes, I do. And I understand that Taylor Gooch has not yet won a PGA Tour event. And I understand that I am biased because he's a friend of the show. He's come on with us and was phenomenal. He's getting disrespected by Vegas. 200-1.
We got though at least 10 bucks on that.
$10. I mean,
seriously. Are you kidding me?
We can go in five apiece. $5 apiece. I mean, less than it costs to get a box combo at Canes. And if he hits, we'll pocket a grand each.
And we're going
to
be really mad when he does win and we didn't bet like 15 or 20 each.
Oh, yeah. No, I promise. That's crazy odds.
That's crazy.
At 200-1 is, it's a little asinine.
Yeah. That's insane.
I'm trying to see. Let's see who else is at 200-1. Eric Van Rooyen, which, again, longer odds than I would thought. Maybe it's just because the field's so stacked.
That has to be what it is. When you have all the top five players in the world playing, you know, it's going to...
Matthew Naismith, Charles Schwartzel. Looking here, Sam Burns, Vaughn Taylor.
Sam Burns had a good finish here last year, so I mean, but...
CT Pan, defending champ. Defending champs, 200-1.
Oh, no.
Well, you got to be kidding me.
That's crazy. And he had the hole out last week, didn't he? Did he not?
Sung Kang had the hole in one.
Sorry, Sung Kang had
the hole in one. Okay. CT Pan, not on form. Defending champ, but not on form. But 200-1 for a defending champ?
You don't see that very often.
Can my guy get a little respect? Golly, nah, man.
It just has to be because the field's so stacked by those numbers are that low. It has to be.
Yeah, only thing that makes sense. Guy like Ches Reavie's 160-1. Matthew Wolf's 150-1. I'm curious what Victor Hovland is sitting at. Victor Hovland, he's pretty consistent. Why can I not find Victor Hovland? I don't know why I scroll and look when I can just command F really quickly. 66-1 for Holland.
Okay, so that's even. I would rather lay coin on Dole or Damon. I would either lay it on Damon or Brian Harmon at 80-1 than I would Holland at 66-1.
I agree. Completely agree on that. Should we do our podcast one and done picks for the week?
Absolutely.
You got yours? You got yours in the holster? You want to go first? You want me
to? I'll go ahead and I'll start out heavy. I'll do both until I'll keep the same picks in our official one and done pool and in this one and done pool unless it's a different person. But I'm going with DeChambeau again. Like I said, I'm just loading up on him. I truly don't have feelings that people are going to win tournaments very often. I have a feeling that he's going to win this one. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm way off, but I think worst case scenario is going to be right up there. And so for our one and done purposes, I have him in our big one and done pool and then in our couple one and done pool because I had not used him this year.
Yeah, I'm going to keep Bryson handy for a bigger purse because I think he's going to play some great golf this year.
I really contemplated saving him for the Memorial because I think he'll play really good there too, and that's a big purse. But I just feel so confident about him this week.
Yeah, I understand. I'm taking the robot, the machine. Give me Sungjae this week. First week, playing great golf. I think he's got a chance to win the tournament. I really do. He very casually last week finished T10. I mean, it was very casual. It was like nobody even knew.
Like you said, they didn't show a shot of him.
I didn't see a single shot of him on Sunday. Very casually finished T10. I love Sungjae coming in this week. So that's who I'll take. Taylor and I will keep track of this through the Masters.
Didn't you already use Sungjae in our big one and done pool?
That's a good question. I actually don't know the answer to that because it's been so long since we've done it.
I know.
So, I can find out.
Yeah, I was just curious if you were going to use the same or the opposite.
I'm not using him. I'm running Kisner out in our big pool this week.
Okay, obviously, Kisner's a good play.
Because obviously that's a lot of guys we've already used, and I still want to save some bigger names for some bigger tournaments. So I am using Kisner in the big pool. I actually don't think... Yes, I have used Sungjae. Where did I use Sungjae at? I don't even know.
I remember you telling me where you used him at, and I keep forgetting. I think it's for a fairly good finish.
Don't think I used him at the Honda where he won. I might have used him at Arnold Palmer for a third. I might have used him at Arnold Palmer.
That would have been a good finish. Yeah. So, in the history so far of this year, my one and done pick has been like the curse of death. So, you know, if you're loading up on DeChambeau like I am, it might be, you know, a propellant, you know, just sends you the complete opposite direction. But it's just that, like you mentioned, the confidence. He's always been known as the cocky guy, and he's cocky now. Because he's
Big Bryson.
There we go.
Yeah. Big Bryson.
And if he keeps up the 180 something ball speed, like I said, I don't see it. I don't see him changing. I'm loading up, but it may be the kiss of death.
I want to see 190 on the ball speed. Like, I mean, come on, swing hard. What are you doing?
Well, he got up to 200, I think, in the offseason.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did on one of them because I think it was Nick Faldo who posted it. Yeah, he got over 200.
That's
on one
insane.
Of them.
That's insane.
I know it
is. The highest I saw last week was 189. And doesn't mean he didn't get higher. That's just the highest I saw.
And I don't see him doing a lot of that this week just because of the course design and the holes. You know, there's not a whole lot where he'll be able to just, you know, rip driver out there. But
when at Colonial, if you miss it, a lot of times you're in the rough, you're in the trees. At Harbortown, if you miss it, you might be in the water.
Yeah, and so, or in the pine straw little palm marsh, tree. Whatever, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, with it, with all the dog legs, some of the dog legs you can hit it high enough to carry, and some of them you can't. You know, because the trees are so high, or they're so close to the tee box that you don't
too
have
close to the tee box. Yeah. Your launch angle would have to be like 25.
Yeah.
To get it up over these trees,
or you'd have to hit a 85 yard slice or something like that. Right. You know, so most players are forced to hit a shorter club out there and then an approach shot. But he had mentioned last week how he has focused so much on his putting. And of course, that he has finished well at two times, I feel like it's a place that, you know, he at least has some confidence in on the greens, you would think. And so I think that with the work he's going to put in this week, along with the some prior confidence he has at the course, I think it's going to be almost an unbeatable combination.
Knowing what I know about us and what I know about whenever everyone loves a guy going into the week, Bryson's probably going to shoot like 72, 74.
That's what normally happens. It really is. Yeah. And
we're going to be sitting here next week going, what the hell happened to Bryson?
What were we thinking, man? Him bulking up was a horrible idea.
Terrible strategy. Lose the weight. Yeah. Go back to side saddle putting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All of it. Yeah, it'll all come out. Yeah, but I know. I just, like you said, the worst case scenario will be there on Sunday with a chance to win. He's just, like you said, playing too confident.
Yeah, playing great, and the confidence is through the roof. Give me some of your best value plays on DraftKings this week. I want to know the guys. Obviously, I've already got one of my lineups in. If I enter any more, I want to know the guy at, you know, 72, 76, 7,800 that I need to run out.
Yeah, so we had already mentioned, you know, our ideal lineup. So, like, some of the cheaper guys on there were Damon at 7,500 and then Taylor Gooch at 7,000, completely getting disrespected. So some of the other guys kind of around that range. Your one and done pick, Kisner, is 7,700. I think that's a pretty good value for, you know, at least get you to the weekend. I believe he did miss the cut last week, but does have good experience here. Another guy I like, just a little bit below or a little bit more expensive than that, has another good record here, Brendan Grace. He won here in 2016, actually, and has finished 7th, 11th, and two other appearances last year, finished 61st.
And played well last week.
Did play well last week, yeah. That's kind of what I was looking
Ended
at.
Ended up with a top 20. I think he finished 19th, but no. I think he played better than his finish. He was in contention really the first three rounds of that tournament.
Yes, he was. Yeah, you know, he was. Yeah, and he's like I said, he was playing really good, and he's got a good record here. So another guy who's right at the same value as Damon at 7,500. Like, give me JT Poston. You know, he played well last week.
Yeah,
played well down there. I believe he finished sixth last year at this turn. Or yeah, I believe he finished sixth last year.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and then finished you know, top 20 or whatever last week. So
finished 10th last week.
Finished 10th last week. Yeah, because he was
one of those guys then at 13 under, 12 under.
Somewhere around there. And then another guy, exact same scenario, where he played good here last year and played well last week. Give me Rafa Cabarabello, 7,400. Another good guy. He, I believe he finished
16th last year, 23rd last week.
Yep, so top 25s in both those instances, pretty good value. Mentioned Brian Harman, 7,200. I think that's a good value. Another guy, 7,200, Rory Sabatini. I think he's going to have a fairly decent week. He always flies under the radar because a lot of people don't like him for some, you know, because he always wore the weird hat. He's got a kind of quirky swing, but he's played this course fairly well. I can pull up exactly what all he's had.
Let me ask you this. Daniel Berger's not the only guy coming off a win into this tournament.
That's very true.
Luke List is in the field, finished third here 2 years ago, 41st last year. I mean, obviously he's on form, won the Corn Ferry Tour event last week. You don't win a Corn Ferry Tour event if you're not playing well.
He's definitely playing well. Yeah, absolutely. And that just kind of goes on to the, you know, a week after a win type thing, because I did see him there and took that in consideration. You know, I just, you know, he might be riding that wave of confidence, does have some experience here, but I wouldn't throw him out there with those other guys, with Sabatini being there at 7,200 and Brian Harman. I like both of those guys a little bit more. And in all honesty, my boy Bazunhut at 7,200, I don't like him as much as some of those other guys, but I would pick him even over List at that price. Maybe I would pick List over McDowell at 7,200. Those are all the guys that are at that same price.
What about Old Man Furyk?
Oh, I'd pick him over Bud Cauley too. But Furyk, man, he's had some success here. Some of the other guys around that price, I like Patrick Rogers at 7,100 more than I do Furyk, just because he played well last week, had a really good Sunday finish, and I can't remember his exact experience at the course, but I do know that he was playing well before the break, and coming out of Stanford, he is one of the most talented players that I remember seeing, and I think that he kind of had some injury issues himself, and now he's coming back from that, and I think that, you know, he's starting to get more talented and getting more experience, so I really like him there. Some of the other cheaper guys will go. I'll just read these off kind of really quick. 6,900, Harry Higgs made the cut last week and has actually made a lot of cuts in a row. I don't know the exact number. Close to 10, I believe. And then we'll go lower than that. Johnny Vegas, 6,700, had a really good first round at Colonial, but fell off towards the stretch. I think that's a decent value for a made cut. Jason Duffner, 6,500, very similar to like we talked about before, where he makes the cut. He doesn't finish very high, but he's made the cut. He does have fairly good experience at Harbortown.
He's played here all but 1 year since 2009 at Harbortown. Missed the cut one time in 2018.
Yeah, exactly. It's for 6,500. Sign me
no
up
top
for that.
Tens, oddly enough. Even whenever he's playing his good golf, never top 10 here. But he did have an 11th place finish in 2017. He's got another 14th up there, 26th. So again, we're talking about a guy who's 6,500 here.
Yeah.
You're not expecting a T3 from a 6,500.
No, absolutely not. No, and I'll read off just Dizzy's last few just real quick. Only go into depth. 6,400, like Troy Merritt. He has good experience here. 6,400, Tyler Duncan. He's been playing fairly well lately. 6,300, Wyndham Clark. He was playing well before the break, and then he missed the cut last week. But if you're looking for someone cheap down there, he'd be a good play. And then 6,100 if you're going cheaper, besides the guys that Colby mentioned, give me KJ Choi. Played well here at this course, you know, just another name if you're looking for someone that low, because like I said, there's so much versatility that you can have in your lineups this week. Because I mean, of all those big guys, you know, besides the Koepka and DJs, I'm not building my lineup around them or the Daniel Bacon Cheeseburger either. So those are the guys that I wouldn't pick, but at the same time, you know, you can always find, you know, some reason to pick them. I mean, obviously they're big names, and Berger's been even before he won, was playing so well, you know, but I just think there's other guys around there who have better value than Berger, but you really can't go wrong with picking him, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What have we missed? Happy birthday, Phil.
Happy birthday, Phil. Absolutely. Yeah, 50th birthday. Yeah. 50th birthday. He will probably decline all of his Champions Tour to options if that he wants to play. I don't think he'll go out there maybe at all, or if he does, if it'll be when he's a little bit older. I don't. And he's just going to keep going out in PGA Tour and hitting bombs, and he keeps missing cuts, unfortunately. Maybe he'll get it figured out, but he's a good-looking 50.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil's doing well for 50, so I'm sure he had a blast yesterday celebrating his 50th birthday. So happy birthday to Phil. What else we miss? Anything? I think we've just about got it covered, didn't we?
I think we did,
We've given out all the winners. We've given out all the value plays. I don't know what more people could want.
No. The only thing we got left is, you know, to make sure that everyone heads down to Bushwood this week, just because the course is in great shape. Played it twice last week, actually, and we brought it up in our last show, some of the money games that we were able to play. And it's just a lot of fun. Make sure you get down there. Greens are in great shape. And I am getting ready for the Waukesha Valley. I could not be more excited.
Yeah, I think we'll be down there on Friday is what we're planning. We're tentatively planning to play Bushwood on Friday.
You have some physical therapy that you're having to deal with because of the damn 7-iron that happened to you. So
the damn seven iron.
It was Roy McIlroy's favorite club, but it may not be your favorite club much longer.
Man, it wasn't my fault. Yeah. It wasn't my fault.
It was 135% your fault.
Absolutely. Absolutely no doubt about it. Glad everyone was with us today. Come see us at Bushwood. We'll be down there on Friday in Chickasha. Cannot wait for the Waukesha Valley. So call and get your tee times and call and get yourself on the list for the Valley. Thanks for listening. Remember, this week in our one and done, Taylor's got Bryson DeChambeau. I've got Sung J.M. So we will grade our test next week and see how we did. Back Monday. Thanks for listening to the 73rd Hole.